This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's typical instruction to everyone. Let us for a moment just envision Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on this tour. At that time, India was not as much populated as it is now. So Mahaprabhu would sometimes walk long stretches through the forest, actually, and in the night he and his assistant would stop and find a resting place under a tree. Mahaprabhu would be simply dressed, you know, up to a little cloth which reached up to his knees, really, and that was all. He would of course have a kopin, but he would not have a quilt or anything. He was absolutely renounced. Very often he would sit under, you know, when he halted his journey, stopped, he would sit under a tree and he would remember Krishna, and often he would cry. Do you have any idea why he was crying? It was so frequent that this deserves some of our attention. He actually missed Krishna so much that he felt pangs of separation martyring or torturing his heart. And that feeling of great humility, we are now getting into spiritual psychology, spiritual humility on one side, but on the other side, inexpressible longing for Krishna, created some tension in him that was almost like it created such a mood that he would cry then he would next morning leave very, very early. He would chant on a knotted string. He had not always beads, but he would have a string which had knots, and he chanted on them. And if he would meet the next day, if there was a temple on the roadside, he would spend the night at the temple, or would just sleep on the side of the road. For his eating, he just did not make big arrangements, but he just personally collected alms by begging. Have you ever begged for your food? No, it is supplied for you. But I once tried, because I come from a background that had made me quite puffed up, to be very honest, and I wanted to learn humility. So I've thought there's no better way than eating only what you have begged. So I went from house to house and begged for food. And often I was thrown out. I was considered to be a con man, who just talked sweetly and then he would come back and rob the house. And it was difficult, you know. Then they said, some people were kind and said, okay, what will you eat? And I said, I'm a vegetarian. What is that? They asked. Now everyone knows, you know. like everyone knows how to use a mobile telephone. At that time, no one even knew that there would ever be a mobile telephone. You know, changing times. So what is a vegetarian? He said, oh, that's a lot. Simply put, no meat. Okay, will you eat insects like the Chinese? No. Also, that is not. Okay, we have an omelette for you. No. Also, no eggs. And it continued, you know, and it was quite. I said, best is I go to where you keep your food and I make the choice. it takes too long for you, and I also am. I don't know now what else is vegetarian, but I will recognize when I see everything. So some said, this beggar is too complicated. let us shut our door. So it was an exercise in humility. Now Mahaprabhu himself gives the exercise. It says in this verse, I think you have a bhiksha. He begged, bhiksha is alms, you know, alms in food. And so he ate. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, who cries in agony for Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. But he did this journey because he had something very, very important to share. You only make a journey, a difficult journey, when you think it's worthwhile to travel. You know, you have, like even nowadays when you travel, you think, well, I concentrate on the essential travels because there's so many tests and so many complications. It just gets very complicated. So then you really think, should I stay home or should I go on a journey? And only if you're convinced what I'm actually saying today to the devotees in Bhaktivedanta manner, that is worth all the complications. So Mahaprabhu also felt, I have an important message that can help the conditioned souls to wake up from the dream of illusion and go to Krishna. And he gave a consistent message. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami will say in text 133 that he has described the Lord's behavior elaborately in the case of coma. In this way, you will all know Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dealings throughout South India. So what Mahaprabhu said to Koma Brahma, the Koma Brahmana, that was the Brahmana who lived in this village where there was a Koma temple, that he would say to everyone. And it were simply these three instructions. What was it? It is, we have heard it earlier. Instruct everyone. Yare deka. Repeat after me, please. Yare deka. Tareka. Krishna upadesh. Amara agyai. Guru hana. He said, my dear people, listen to this. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Chaitanya. Actually he said, it starts earlier. Remain at home, you can stay, but chant the holy name of Krishna 4 rounds a day. No, he didn't say, sorry, he didn't say that. Okay, chant the holy name of Krishna's 16 rounds a day. No, sorry, he didn't say that also. He said, chant the holy name of Krishna always. Always. I think that's Bengali. Here is Niranta. yes, Nirantara. Always we should chant. In the shower we should chant. When we dress we should chant. Between bites we should chant. Instead of quarreling we should chant. We should make our life a life filled with the holy name. Then, next, instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Sri Krishna as they are given in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Who of you remembers an order Lord Chaitanya gave in the Bhagavad Gita? I mean, after all, you are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so let's see if you know what to say to someone. Oh, this gets real. I'm sorry, but these texts are meant to be lived in life. Oh, no one. You are following Lord Chaitanya? Maybe I'm in the wrong temple. Is this Swami Narayan temple? Come on, one order of Chaitanya. Of you're laughing. This is a sad story of your life. You're not following. Yes?
Is it one of the six Ashtakam verses?
Well, yes, but here it says, as they are given in the Bhagavad Gita. In these rooms, my dear devotees, I'm saying this because in this room, you know that when you go up the staircase, you know better than me there, Prabhupada's room. So Prabhupada, he received us, and he said, it was in 1977. It was just, I think, a month or so, 2 months, or so, I'm not so good, maybe 6 weeks before his departure, he said to us, so have you understood our philosophy by now? Oh, he wanted an answer. Well, I was in a lot of lectures, but had I understood something from all of this? So devotees gave it their try. Prabhupada was so disappointed with our learning. That's why we have now bhakti schools and training, this and that, because we need to understand what this is all about. No, Maharaj, it's about my meals, you know, I get good meals here. No, you have to understand what it's all about. Prabhupada was so disappointed, and it was 6 weeks before his departure. I know many times you hear Prabhupada was very proud of his disciples, and yes, at times he was extremely proud. He said, they are all pure devotees. But at other times, I was a few times there. Oh, he would give us a sauce. He was so disappointed with us. When he went in his fatherly bath, he was proud of us. When he went in his teacher bath, intense, yes. Acharya, no? So, what is one instruction of the Gita? Come on, you know this. Yes, Nityananda.
Is better to perform one's own duty imperfectly than someone else's duty?
Yes. That's a no instruction, yeah? So you are all about duty, I can understand from this, yes? Other points? All, thank you, Bob, you're saving us this morning. All, let's say, what it in English? Yeah. Yes.
Worship me.
Worship and offer your obeisances to me, no? Yesterday we had a wonderful, time in this Vrindavan which you have created. Krishna's secret instructions of the the message of the Bhagavad Gita. And we actually discussed how when we start to think of Krishna, always we create a new personality, we create a new me, because what you think will definitely influence what you decide to do in your life, and that will reflect on your activities and your whole feeling and your experience of life. So the instruction of Krishna is repeated twice in the Gita, and our devotee has remembered is we should think of Krishna. How do you think of Krishna? How do you do this? How often do you think of Krishna? Maybe half an hour a day, or 15 minutes, or 5 minutes, 2, never? How can you think of Krishna? I think there is no better way than reading regularly, and then it helps a lot to repeat what you have read. It helps a lot. So anyways, I will go now a little faster. And of course the Bhagavatam. There is one instruction in the Bhagavatam which is very important. It's the essence of the Bhagavatam's teaching. So if you it's sometimes difficult to remember many instructions from the Bhagavatam, but I will tell you the essence. Mahaprabhu remembers his initiation, and he says, when I was with my spiritual master, he taught me a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the essence of all the Bhagavatam's instructions. Therefore he recited this verse again and again. I think we all are curious, what is the essence of the Bhagavatam? Would you like to hear?
Yes.
Yeah, I also like to very, very much share this with you. Would you like to hear in Sanskrit or in only English? What is your desire? Both. Good. Evam vratasva priyanamakirtya jatanurago tutachitta uchai hasatya toroditi roti gayati unmadavanityati lo kabayam. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who's very dear to him, he's agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, he cries, he becomes agitated and chants just like a madman. In English, sometimes in English we pronounce like this, madman. No? He just chants like a madman, not caring for outsiders. So here, my dear devotees, the essence of the teachings of the Bhagavatam is to chant the holy name with a full immersion, where you are also bringing your emotions there. You loudly chant, you laugh, you cry, you become moved inside. No, this is hinted at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam. In the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, there is a hint. It comes in the first chapter of the essence of this great work. It is it is the Bhagavatam 1.1.14, and I will request Gokrishna to find this for us. In this verse, it is said that the chanting of the holy name, even when done unconsciously, is saving one from the greatest fear, which is usually death. No? So who Can you remember in the Bhagavatam teachings who chants unconsciously the holy name? Ajamil, you know everything. Ajamil, yes, he chanted. He really didn't mean Krishna, he meant his son. So here's the verse for you. Apana sangsritin gauram janama vivasho grinan tata satyo vimucheta yad bibeti svayambayam. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. So in the very beginning, it's even in the first chapter of the first canto, a great surprising news is given. Chant the holy name and that will free you from fear, which is known as great time, Mahakala, who's the root of all other fears. This same message is repeated at the very last verse of the Bhagavatam. It's in the 12th canto, where we can also provide this for you. We have these amazing distraction machines, which we will force now to read the Bhagavatam. There is a verse which says that chanting the holy name is the main process in this age of Kali. Text last. So it's difficult to I don't remember the chapter of the 12th canto, but here it is for you. Nama sankirtanam yasya sava papa pranashanam pranamo dukkha shamanas tam namami harim param. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari, the congregational chanting of whose holy names destroys all sinful reactions, and the offering of obeisances unto whom relieves all material sufferings. So yes, you don't need any other sadhana except for Nam Sankirtan, because that clears your way. It frees you from the reactions to the previously done sins. For those who take notes, it's in the 12th canto, 13th chapter, verse 23. Yes. So I think in Mahaprabhu's instructions, he placed so much emphasis on chanting the holy name. He said all perfection comes from this. Now many of us are chanting for 20 years, 10 years, 30 years, and we asked ourselves, has perfection already arrived in my life? And many of us, I know, because I talk with devotees during the Japa retreats, they say, no, we feel actually not yet the effect which is promised. And several of us have asked, well, does this process really work, or is this an over-exaggeration in the sacred scriptures? You know, is this just some mythological talk, which is not as practical, as which doesn't work like it should work? No, this is the question, and I would like to therefore use the remainder of the class to give you some hints from our shastras how this practice, which is after all the main practice of chanting of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the main means is to chant free from offenses, it's also said, how you can bring this to perfection. Is this of interest? city is a very desirable state, Nam city or Sadhan city. It will bring you to all the desirable things in your spiritual work. Now, Mahaprabhu has hinted towards that. He said two things are important. Remember? Chanting and sharing. Yeah, but what to share? Yeah, instructions. What instructions to share? From the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Thank you. You know everything. You know, this is required. Two things. Not just chanting. No, apparently we must read Gita and Bhagavatam and then be not so selfish. We must be full of compassion, actually. And compassion means to help others. No? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur also said that the chanting should not come alone. Chanting must, he said, just like Krishna comes always with the Radha, the chanting always comes with the teachings of the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is, so to say, almost the extension of the holy name. And that has a reason. Because, you must know better than me, but in your spiritual life, it really only starts with one point. Where is the starting point of your spiritual life? It's Sambandha, no? Sambandha. We are informed who we are, who's Krishna, who's that we have a relationship, actually. This Sambandha Gyan is the starting point. Someone who chants and chants without this awareness, oh Krishna, Krishna, I'm chanting for you. He really chants only the shadow of the name. It doesn't have the substance. Those of you who study a little bit the developments in the kirtan scene or in spirituality, they know that there are many kirtan leaders who have much more participants than we. I am a friend of one who always stays with me, who when he sings he gets he got 8,000 people without just clack. He's coming, 8,000 people come and chant. However, this kirtan leader, and I will not tell you his name because he's my friend and I don't want to say anything bad about my friend, does not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does not feel also that we are part of Krishna. That is what the Hare Krishna devotees do, but I'm not like this. And therefore, his chanting in Haridas Thakur's words is only a shadow of the real name. Should I tell you a little bit Haridas Thakur's thoughts about this? Good. Maya's world is very attractive because we have Amazon in it. No, that's not his word. That's the word of a modern devotee. Maya's world is a prison house for the souls, a prison house where punishment is given to correct the criminal souls who have rebelled against Krishna. Now, yes, here we are a little bit compromised. We are called these 14 material worlds are ruled by Goddess Maya, and they are full of people who have rebelled against Lord Krishna. It's not really a place for recreation and enjoyment. No, the sense pleasures are all temporary and lead to great suffering. That's the punishment, the suffering. So a conditioned soul's path turns. However, if one of those souls, by a saintly Vaishnava's mercy, understands his relationship with Lord Krishna and chants Lord Krishna's holy name like this, then he attains a great treasure of spiritual love, a treasure that is the essence of all religious activities. At that time, even liberation of merging into the Lord's effulgence becomes detestable. So, you know, yesterday we did something amazing. We read some of the instructions of Lord Krishna, and then there was one instruction where he said one should meditate about me, and then he gave different ways in which one should meditate. One should meditate of him as a person that is full of light, luminous, that is controlling everything. And we actually did this. Yes, we said, well, this is meditation, it's in the Gita, let's be bold, let's do it actually. And we did it by doing what is the art of meditation in Vaishnava circles. We chanted the holy name, and while we chanted the holy name, we actually thought of Krishna. We thought that he is a person. Some of the participants yesterday thought of his form. Others actually thought of, I talked later, of the rays of light that emanates from his toenails. And they said, Maharaj, what have you done with us? We feel so blissful. I said, I've not done anything. I'm just trying like you try. But you have actually chanted in Sambandha. Your chanting was not a shadow. It was a real thing. Because you have thought of Krishna while you chanted. You have chanted for Krishna, like it is meant to be done. This is a sadhana which is meant to be done. My dear devotees, if you have 50 years of shadow chanting, then you will one day go to a psychology class and say, and the psychologist said to you, okay, what is your belief? Yes, that we chant and reach perfection. And the psychologist will have you reach perfection, and you would say, if you're confident, chill, and you don't tell it to the person who gives me maha sweets, I have to tell to you that I'm an ordinary soul. I'm plagued by desires, by enviousness of the successes of others. I have not made any advancement. But don't tell it to anyone. So, yes, then the psychologist will say, could it be that you follow a religious narrative that is not satisfying you because it doesn't give any results? And then the devotee in therapy will say, yes, but don't tell it to the members of the Krishna conscious movement. You know, you have to make the sadhana work. You have to become purified in your heart. You have to see that there are things which are happening. You know, when you are on a driving on a road, let us say Belgium, you know, and you want to go to the Eurostar and so on, but you keep on driving, and then you read Manchester, then you read what else is available here, Edinburgh, what's the capital of Scotland? Edinburgh, even? Yeah, Edinburgh. Then you must say, well, I was going to Belgium, but why am I now in Scotland? And why? maybe have I gone the wrong path? Maybe. So yes, you have to look that your sadhana brings you that success, and for that you need to chant with sambandha, with a connection of Krishna. Yesterday I came in the temple and I saw a few devotees who were they were sitting before the deities. I think you all have done this at times, and they chanted, and I looked at the devotees. Some of them were also studying their mobile telephones while they were chanting, but there was one devotee who was actually not with his mind in the world. He looked at the deity and he cried. And I thought, wow, this is the devotee who is chanting in sambandha, in connection with Krishna. If you remain mechanical in your chanting and don't think of Krishna, inattention will plague you, and you will not have any taste. And because the mind needs engagement, you will look for your engagement in material things. No? And the material world is only as far as your mobile telephone is. You know, everything is available there. So, yes, chanting, and how do you become attentive, my dear devotees? How can you I wanted to ask a different question. How can you chant in sambandha, in a sense of relationship? It is very easy when Krishna occupies your heart. It's very hard when you need to push yourself. But when Krishna steals your heart and pulls you, then it's very simple. And Krishna steals our heart when we hear about him, when we hear about his wonderful activities, how he is, how he thinks. And, you know, we are, when we become attracted to what is Krishna's prime quality, it's madhuryatva, sweetness. So I can only end this class by saying to you, my dear devotees, please let us consider Mahaprabhu's instruction, which is to chant ourselves, but to read the Bhagavatam and the Gita, no? And then bring the two together. Chant with an understanding of Krishna and your relationship to Krishna. And as a result, your heart will be stolen by Krishna. And you will be easily, you will be very easily attentive. But when you have to push your heart, oof, so difficult, so difficult. I wish all of you that Krishna will attract your heart. When we chant, there are meanings, and one is, oh Krishna, please attract my heart to you. Everything is so easy. Do you remember when you chant and all of a sudden you have these moments of mercy where you are actually thinking of Krishna? Oh Krishna, please save me. That will be really very, very good. That will be your saving grace. Yeah. Also, to go to Vrindavan, it's very easy that our heart is stolen in Vrindavan. The atmosphere is just so filled with Krishna that you, just as it is easy here to forget Krishna in the West because it's, the atmosphere is soaked with Maya and distraction, it's easy to remember Krishna. My dear devotees, when you come back from Vrindavan, you notice the difference of atmosphere. When I came back, I felt not very good, and I felt threatened actually by the atmosphere, that, oh no, the atmosphere is stealing my memory of Krishna. Oh, ma. Now, then I understood, wow, now I have to be really careful. I have to rise earlier. I have to read my Gopal Champu, that's a book about pastimes of Krishna. And I have to think of how I can imbue my chanting with that, make it Krishna conscious chanting. That is chanting when I'm conscious of Krishna. And then everything will be all right. Hare Krishna. I hope I was talking a little freely today. Please see the good intention. My intention really is to help all of us, starting with myself first, to stop living in the shadows of Krishna consciousness. Shadows are not good for us. If we get only a shadow of a Mangal Aarti sweet, that is not satisfying to us. We want the real Mangal Aarti sweet. Hare Krishna. So, do you have any questions? I'm looking at the time. When should we end? By 9 o'clock, I think, isn't it? So we have one well-considered question. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you for an interesting point. Here's a question I have. Some devotees, they are pretty Krishna conscious, and when they hear a kirtan, which is maybe musically very nicely done, but the kirtan leader is not Krishna conscious, they can still feel the mind of Krishna and they can kind of enjoy it. So how to understand that? Is that considered good in the sense that this kirtan, this person in the kirtan is not Krishna conscious, but they're helping someone who is Krishna conscious remind them more of Krishna, and when they chant and hear it, they're kind of in their world, they're feeling Krishna.
Yeah, the person in his world is maybe not feeling Krishna.
No, I understand that, because the scriptures say you don't hear from, it's like the milk touched by the lips of the serpent. I don't understand.
Yeah, that is, well, they will not, see, this, it's interesting, there are always many perspectives. One of the main functions of our mind is to associate. Not the way we use it in religious circuits. Associate means you bring up something with that is close. A simple example. Let us say a good book. I say a good book. So you might associate with it Bhagavatam because you're a devotee. Another might associate a first-class biography of Napoleon when he hears it. The word is the same, a good book, but according to the mental disposition, a person associates with it a Bhagavatam, or the poetry of Rumi, or a well-written, what is it called, biography of Napoleon and his amazing, amazing strategic moves on the battlefield of Europe. So, association. So, if someone hears a devotee chant, even if the devotee himself is still progressing on the path, and he hears Krishna, he will associate, wow, Krishna! And he will be very, very nice, or nicely tuned in. Our Bhakti Charu Maharaj told at times a little story about how the mind associates things. And if it's a devotee, he always sees Krishna, always. He said, there was once a cow had died and the vultures were attracted to eat the flesh of the dead cow, and they were circling. So one devotee saw this. Didn't see the cow. The cow was not in his gaze, but he saw the vultures in the sky, and he started to dance. and say, hurry, hurry. So someone came to him and said, why are you so moved? I'm moved. Yes. Look at the sky there. What do you see? Valshas, yes, but by the circles the valshas do, what can you see? Yeah, a cow has died, said the devotee. But this is not, you should not dance when a cow dies. No, you misunderstand. Everyone dies, the old age has come for the cow, but now we will take the skin of the cow and make madanga from it. And then we will have kirtan. We have no madanga in our area, but now it is possible to me. So there was a seemingly inauspicious event, but the devotee's mind saw auspiciousness. What are we most afraid of? I think many of us are most afraid of being not liked and be rejected cruelly. You fool. Go. Don't show your face. Not even in the moonshine. And when we get the dislikes on Facebook, some of us are ruined. Oh, suicidal. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was always followed by a person who just brutally criticized everything he said. He would give a lecture and then the person would rudely get up and say, this is fanaticism, this is dangerous talk, don't listen to this man, like this. Then the man died, and I must say with a smile in my face, he died a natural death. There was no fanatic, no upset disciple. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur cried. Why did he cry? His enemy was finished. No, he saw it differently. His mind worked differently. I think it's difficult for an ordinary person like me to understand, but he said, this criticism was good for me. It made me humble. And now this is not available any longer. Huh. It is. So association is the point. And what comes to your mind, that really describes who you are. When you hear even a new devotee chanting, who is still on the path, and you into your mind comes the holy name Krishna, then it shows something about you. But when you start to judge, he is bad, he is very bad, and I'm very good, it shows something about you, also. No, the way we associate shows really what we are. So this is describing a devotee who's already advanced. Now when people come to kirtan leaders who are and learn about Krishna consciousness from them, and the kirtan leaders, they need to know, I have a grave responsibility. I must work on my heart. These people relate to me and they will understand Krishna consciousness from me. So I must see that I can actually give them something. No? That is a grave responsibility. But most people hear from more than one kirtan leader, I think. No? So if there is a rotten tomato somewhere who can sing very sweetly, he may get purified by by singing, and he may, obviously we should try to go to devotees who are mature in their Krishna consciousness, and those who are not yet, they should see that they become more mature. But yes, an advanced devotee can see Krishna everywhere. In fact, the Mahaprabhu talks about this in the Matya Leela, no? How an advanced devotee sees Krishna savatra, everywhere. He's reminded everywhere of Krishna. Hare Krishna. So I will close this lecture because today is Sunday. I think we expect many guests today. Also, we will have kirtan. I hear Bibi Govinda Maharaj will be singing. Amala Harinam will be singing. Gokrishna will be singing as well. I've made some arrangement he does not yet know. and so many things. But really, what I wanted to really convey today to all of you is something that has been living and working in my heart for many, many years. It is that chanting alone can remain a shadow practice without substantial results. So therefore, we need to think of Krishna in some ways. Either, you know, it's very easy to sit and chant before the deities, and you know that's very nice when no one is there and you can really have a heart-to-heart exchange with the deity, and really reading about Krishna and memorizing it. It helps a lot when you share what you have read about Krishna. It really works wonders. Once you read something and you share it with someone, it gets really stored in your memory bank. There's somehow it works like this. So bring your chanting and your practice out of the shadow and into the light, and you will see miracles. You will actually become content and satisfied in your life, really, and you feel, I don't need anything else. I have everything with my chanting and my memory of Krishna. It is tika. All the best. See you hopefully this evening, or there are other opportunities. Just now I don't know by heart, but you are all well connected and have mobile telephones where everything is visible. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bhav.
Jai.